I Remember, by Mary Ellen Halverson. Mrs. Halverson graduated from the University of Iowa with a major in Spanish. She has taught Spanish in the elementary schools and is now a Braille teacher and an active volunteer in the National Federation of the Blind. She and her husband Raymond have two children. Her story, I Remember, sounds a familiar theme to readers of earlier Colonel books. How different life would be for the blind child growing up if parents and teachers had accurate information about blindness. Here is her story. When I look back on my high school years and consider all of the negative ideas I absorbed about blindness, I really wonder how I survived with any self-respect left at all. I'm sure one reason I did is that I had a very positive, supportive family who believed in me and expected me to do well in school and other activities. Fortunately, in my first year of college, I met several young active blind students who began the process of teaching me a whole new attitude about blindness. I began losing my sight in junior high due to a disease in the retina. When I had long reading assignments, my parents would read them to me in the evening. Many times I had difficulty in reading the blackboard or tests, but I struggled along. I can remember worrying about tests, not about the subject matter to be tested, but about the quality of the mimeographed pages of the test. I knew that frequently the print was faded or blurry, and I was reluctant to use a magnifying glass in front of my fellow junior high students. Some teachers were very helpful, but others seemed not to notice or not be especially concerned. I preferred as little discussion on the matter as possible. Neither my parents nor I realized that by 8th or 9th grade I was definitely legally blind. We told ourselves and others that I just had a sight problem. By the time I entered high school, I had lost a little more sight and was enrolled in the sight-saving program in our school district. My parents and I were quite relieved since this program provided books on tape for me and a lot of material in large print. There were different types of magnifiers available and such things as large print dictionaries. However, the only skill I was actually taught by one of the sight-saving teachers was typing, which is a valuable skill to have. I attended my regular high school classes in the morning and then went to a resource room for the afternoon. At first, this room was in an elementary school, which I found rather embarrassing. I traveled there every day with several other students by cab. Eventually, the resource room was moved into the high school, which was an improvement. I remember the first day I met the sight-saving teacher, who was a very kind, well-meaning person. Right away, she told my family and me that we never use the word blind. We say partially sighted. This suited us quite well, since the word blind conjured up terrible and frightening visions in our minds. She further reassured us that I would not have to learn Braille, but could use large print books. I could tell you right here that in order for me to read even the large print, I had to put my face right down on the page, and even then, I could only read several letters at a time. I can remember spending 3 hours trying to read a chemistry chapter in a large print book one evening. I imagine my fellow students read and studied the chapter in 30 minutes. Although we didn't realize it at the time, Braille would have been much more efficient and faster for me to use. Braille is not an inferior reading system, and can be easily learned. Another area which caused me some anguish was traveling about, both in the school building and outside. It was especially hard to see the downstairs, and I could not read the room numbers. When I approached the stairs, I just slowed down and probably looked rather awkward. I developed my own techniques for finding the right room, such as the second room past the drinking fountain, or the room next to the main front door. I didn't attend many school or social activities at night because I couldn't see after dark. My excuse to people was usually that I had to study. Therefore, I missed out on dances, dates, and sports events, all of which are an important part of high school life. Now I know that this area of travel could have been solved so easily with some training in the use of the long white cane. However, this would not have been successful without some changes in my attitude first. It would have been essential for me to believe that it was respectable to use a white cane. I'm absolutely sure that the resource teachers would have frowned on such ideas. They felt it was best to use one's remaining eyesight as much as possible, even though it was often far less efficient and more painful than alternatives such as Braille and cane travel. I am now convinced that the key to being an independent, successful, and happy blind person is your attitude about yourself. Along with attitude, but secondary, you must also learn some skills, like typing, Braille, cane travel, and other techniques that will work for you. During my high school years, I had neither the positive attitude about myself nor the skills. I suppose the sad part is that there was no one to teach them to me. My classroom teachers were sympathetic for the most part, but they could offer no real encouragement or worthwhile advice concerning blindness. In some of my classes, I felt that I was a nuisance to the teacher. I was very apologetic when I had to ask to have something read from the blackboard or from a test. You can imagine what this did for my self-esteem. It was also embarrassing to me to read and write in the classroom because I had to get so close to the paper. A student in one class made a remark I've always remembered. I was writing answers to a quiz, and he said, "Now that's the direct approach." Another blow to one's self-respect. Until this writing, I have never told anyone about that painful moment. By now, I'm sure you can understand how all of these experiences can cause a young person to feel very inferior to her peers. Even though my grades were high, my self-respect was low. Of course, I didn't realize this at the time. I should add here that my high school experience was not totally gloomy. I did have a good group of friends, some very cooperative teachers, and a terrific family. I graduated high in my class of 528 classmates and went on to the university. I entered college prepared to struggle on as before, but the unexpected happened. I met several well-adjusted, confident, blind students who had received training in the skills of blindness and had acquired that all-important attitude I mentioned earlier. They knew, without a doubt, that they were equal to anyone, and they were willing to take on their share of responsibilities both in school and in any other area of life. They also had another thing in common. They were members of the National Federation of the Blind and met for monthly meetings. At first, I tried to avoid these meetings, since I didn't wish to admit that I was blind. But on the other hand, I liked these friends personally, and I wanted the same confidence and freedom they possessed. After a couple of years of college, I attended an orientation and adjustment center which taught skills and began the long process of improving my attitude toward myself and my blindness. It was, beyond a doubt, the most valuable year of my life. Very few places and very few people can restore a person's self-dignity and respect so effectively. Sometimes I think about how those teenage years might have been. I also think about the young people who are living my experiences right now and about their parents who are worried and don't know what to do. If my story reaches you and helps any of you in one small way, those years of worry and embarrassment will have all been worth it. Parents, your children who are partially or totally blind do have the opportunity to become independent, happy, and successful individuals. It is respectable to be blind.